Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, are you ready to lay old Demas aside and move on to other things? Well, the fact of the matter is, I'm interested in getting into the next verse in Colossians chapter 4 and talking about the house churches that are referred to in that text where Paul says, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. And I think that deserves to be explored a bit, but I'm not quite ready to turn loose of Demas yet. If you'll bear with me just a little bit longer. I'm referring, of course, to the text in verse 14 of Colossians chapter 4, where we read, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And you remember, he's referred to in Colossians favorably alongside Dr. Luke as a fellow worker in the gospel who is with Paul in Rome in his first imprisonment. He's mentioned even more favorably in Philemon, verse 24, where he is specifically included with four others who are called fellow workers with Paul. And yet, his final mention in 2 Timothy 4:10 is the shameful one that occurs some 3.5 years after this one. It's when Paul is in his second Roman confinement that will eventuate in his execution. And he says, Demas has forsaken me. He's deserted me. He's abandoned me, having loved this present world. And so Demas, who gave great promise and actually served the Lord, turned out to be a deserter. And from all the biblical evidence we have, he drifted away without ever coming back in repentance and to restoration. Sad, sad story. But of course, we've got other indications like that in Scripture, as you know. We've got Judas. We've talked about him. He's a similar example to Demas. And we've got the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And then he goes on to talk about those who are involved in Christian work. And that sounds like the will of my Father which is in heaven. Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out demons? Have we not worked miracles? Have we not preached the gospel? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And then I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, Judas could say that he'd cast out demons, and Judas could say that he had worked miracles, and Judas could say that he had preached the gospel. All of those things were true of Judas. And he's exactly the kind of person that Jesus is talking about there. One day, he will hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That's Judas. And Demas seems to be in a similar category. A lot of lessons here. And we'll finish them up today and not carry this over into next week. But thank you for joining me on this Friday, August 11. And many thanks for your financial gifts that keep us teaching God's Word on the station. Well, I have laid out 5 modern applications and lessons that I think we should learn from the life of Demas and desertion of Demas. And 3 of them we've covered, and I'll simply name them and then move on. But we've got to understand the danger of the pull of worldliness. That's what pulled Demas away. We also should understand something of the disappointments of Christian fellowship. Christian fellowship is a wonderful thing. It is a God-designed thing. It is a God-commanded thing, if I can call it a thing. I don't know what else to call it at the moment. But it's going to have its share of disappointments. You better be prepared for that. You better be fortified for that. If you go into a church thinking, I finally found it. I finally found the perfect church. Then as soon as something goes wrong, you're going to be crushed. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be in danger of becoming a defector. Because there are no perfect churches. Not a one. And in every church, no matter how good it is, no matter how biblical it is, no matter how committed to Christ the majority of the members are, no matter how faithfully God's word is preached, no matter how biblically the details and order of the church are carried out, there will be disappointments, there will be defectors, there will be people that you get close to, that you build a fellowship relationship with. People even that you probably will pray with and will serve the Lord together with, who will turn out to be great disappointments, who will defect from your church and perhaps, like Demas, defect from all churches, go out into the world and demonstrate what appears to be no commitment to Jesus Christ at all, no real saving faith, and that can strike a very severe blow to the Christian profession of those who are looking more to men, to people, than they are to Christ and to His Word. And the third lesson that we talked about yesterday is the problem of fallible judgments. We can't make infallible ones. We might judge Demas saved, and if so, we would be wrong. We might have judged John Mark unconverted when he deserted Paul, and we would be wrong. His restoration proves that he was a true child of God, and that, therefore, God brought him to repentance and restoration. But Demas's lack of repentance and restoration demonstrates that his desertion was simply the expression of the true nature of his heart. He was not truly converted at all. He was a pretender. He was a hypocrite. He was an empty professor of Christ, but he had no reality, no heart change, no regeneration, no new birth. And we have a hard time judging that correctly. In fact, it's impossible for us to judge that correctly. Only God can. But the fourth lesson from this is the likelihood of significant betrayals, and that sounds like the one I just talked about in the risks of Christian fellowship, but I'm taking this a step further and applying it particularly to those of you who are pastors, preachers, full-time Christian workers. You are particularly vulnerable to significant betrayals in your life. You better expect some heartbreaking experiences, like Judas betrayed Jesus and Demas betrayed Paul. And if you don't have any in your experience, then how do you explain that? How do you explain that? The evidence of Scripture is to warn us that this is to be expected. Not desired, of course, but it is to be expected. And when it happens to you, as it has to me, and as it has to any veteran pastor or longtime Christian worker, those betrayals will likely turn out to be the greatest trials that you will face in your life. I don't think there's anything that hurts worse than a serious betrayal, like Demas betraying Paul. I've had several serious trials in my life of various kinds. I've had some pretty serious health issues. But I want to tell you, that didn't hurt as bad as some of the serious betrayals of Christians who stabbed me in the back and tried to destroy and undermine my ministry. I say Christians. I don't know. Only God knows their heart. Am I going to tell you about them? No. No. By God's help and grace, I just pick myself up and walk on. But I want to tell you that they are real. They are going to happen. You never know when. You better be prepared. You better keep your eyes on Christ. Well, I will tell you about one. In one of my early experiences, I actually was an associate in a church where the pastor ended up in jail. Now, I'm not going to give the details, but that's pretty serious and deserved to be there, as it turned out. You could have knocked me over with a feather. I didn't expect that. But he was a pretender. He was a hypocrite. A pastor that I was laboring with, that I was serving with, that I was learning from. This is when I was in school, and I was serving in his church on weekends and gaining valuable ministry experience. And I happened to be out of town in the summer. My dad called me and said, I wanted to be the first to tell you before you read it in the newspaper. He said, Pastor so-and-so is in jail. And I wasn't there when it happened, and I'm glad I wasn't. I think God spared me that. But, oh, what a blow. And I can tell you how it tore up that church, how it tore up the young people, the youth that I was working with in that church. Wow, that was a serious betrayal. And when that happens, dear pastor or Christian worker, you need to understand that's not necessarily a reflection on your ministry. Was Judas's betrayal a reflection on Christ's ministry? Was there something wrong with Christ? Was there something wrong with his ministry that produced a Judas? No. And I take that as the first example. Of course, and I'd have to say the same thing about the Apostle Paul. Was the fact that Demas betrayed him and deserted him, and many others as well that you can read about in Paul's epistles, is that a reflection upon Paul's ministry? Was it lacking, seriously lacking and weak in some way, that these things happened to it? No. No. And if Paul's ministry couldn't prevent these things from happening, what makes you think yours will? And if Christ's ministry couldn't prevent these things from happening, what makes you think yours will? Just remember that God uses all these things for His glory and our good. But be prepared for the likelihood of significant betrayals. And my final lesson out of all of this is for you Christians to realize, those of you who are pulling away, those of you who are declining in your Christian commitment, take the warning of the example of Demas seriously. If you do not halt your present decline, you are going to slip away like Demas did. Please realize your eternal destiny hangs in the balance. Do you understand that? Recognize the symptoms. Your ever greater slackness in church attendance, your failure to continue to read your Bible and to pray, your getting caught up in earthly pursuits while you are ignoring spiritual pursuits, while you are pulling away from the fellowship of the saints and pulling closer to the fellowship of those who do not know the Lord. These are serious warnings. These are symptoms of serious decline. Watch out, or it may be said of you, sadly, someday that fill in your name has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And you may stand before Christ someday and hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Be warned. Be wise. And if you are in decline, recognize your danger and flee to the throne of grace. And cast yourself upon the mercy of Christ and confess your sin and ask for a renewal of your Christian commitment and faithfulness to the Lord. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.